These were Jews saved by the blood of Jesus Christ. But they had not yet received all truth. See, James is addressing these believers among the 12 tribes that are scattered. But James himself, when he writes this book, he is not writing with the full revelation that you and I have. What Paul received and later taught. James died before that revelation of the mystery of the body of Christ was even understood. He died in Acts 12. And people didn't even at that time understand exactly what was going on. It was just happening. They didn't know how to explain it. Look over at John chapter 16. John 16. By the way, there are people who, on the other side of that extreme, because Paul brought so much new revelation to the table, you know, there are groups out there that will tell you Paul was a counterfeit. Paul was an imposter. And they claim that they don't believe Paul's letters should even be in the Bible. And there are sizable groups out there that teach that stuff. And I've got the emails from them, letters from them. And what I always pointed to is passages like this in John 16. Paul and his new revelation and his epistles that contain so much new information, or at least explanations of things that we might not have understood without, he was a fulfillment of Jesus' words. Jesus promised that would happen. Look at there, verse 12. He says, I have yet many things to say unto you, but ye cannot bear them now. That's Jesus saying, you know, I got a lot more to teach you, but you can't handle it. Why? They couldn't receive when he explained to them that he was going to die. He was going to suffer many things and be crucified. He couldn't be any more plain. He said that I would be buried, but I would rise again on the third day. And they said, I wonder what he means by that. Yeah. How many of you read Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John and been like, what? Why can't they get what he's saying? Right. They lacked something that you and I have. Two things we have. The indwelling Holy Spirit and the Bible. Yeah. They had the Old Testament. They didn't have the New Testament. They didn't have Paul's epistles to help them understand. And so Jesus says what in verse 13? Howbeit when he... the Spirit of truth. Is the S on your word Spirit capitalized?
Yes.
Good. When he, the Spirit of truth, has come, he will guide you into what?
All truth.
So what you've got in your Bible is the end of the truth for us.
Amen.
God has given us what he wanted us to have. But before that, we didn't have what he wanted us to have. And James wrote at a time when we still didn't have all that truth. He says, he will guide you into all truth. That's, you can just think of one main character. Paul. Paul and his epistles. That's what Jesus is mainly talking to you about. That, and I believe the book of Revelation itself, which is called the Revelation of Jesus Christ. First of that book, I believe. Continues and he says, for he shall not speak of himself. That's the Spirit. He shall not speak of himself, but whatsoever he shall hear, that shall he speak, and he will show you things to come. Now, that's the Trinity. Anybody doesn't believe in the Trinity and claims to be a Bible Christian is just a goofball. You have Jesus being baptized, and the Father speaks from heaven, and the Son is in the water, and he's not ventriloquist. He's not throwing his voice. But the Father says, this is my Son. And then we see the third person of the Trinity showing up, the Comforter, the Counselor. And it says that he is hearing, and then speaking, and that's what Paul wrote. There's a communication going on. Go back to the book of Genesis. I've heard guys try to say that I'm wrong, or anybody teaches us wrong, but they said, the Bible says, let us make man. Who's talking to who? That's the Father talking to the Son, talking to the Holy Spirit. There's a conversation going on. So, James wrote to these saved Jews, my brethren. And this happened, as I said, before the revelation of the mystery. Just so you know what we're talking about. If you don't acknowledge dispensational truth, you won't get it. But we've got charts on the wall. We've got charts. We've got charts on the online. Go to our bbfohio.com resources charts. You can download our charts. And you can see how the dispensations, it's the framework of Scripture. And this is a dispensational truth, comparing Scripture with Scripture. Look over at Romans 16. Romans 16. And verses 25 through 27. And if you're not a dispensationalist, you're not a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, if you're not rightly dividing the word, you'll read this and it doesn't even hit you. But I remember the first time this really hit me. Verse 25, Paul is writing, says, "Now to him that is of power to establish you according to what?
My gospel."
You see, there's more than one gospel. It's according to what dispensation you're in. Our dispensation is the gospel preached by Paul. 1 Corinthians 15, 1-4. How that Christ died for our sins according to the Scriptures, and that He was buried, and that He rose again the third day according to the Scriptures. We keep it right up on the wall up there. And then he says, and the preaching of Jesus Christ. The hyperdispensationalists will tell you that Jesus was a ministry to the circumcision and shouldn't even bother really much with His writings. There's not much application to us. They're wrong. But then look at the next words. According to, read that with me. According to the revelation of the mystery, which was kept secret since the world began. Paul is telling you right there. He received the revelation of a mystery that until he received it had been kept secret since the world began. But look what he says next. But now is made manifest. Where? In his epistles. And by the scriptures of the prophets. Because you've heard the saying, what is in the old concealed is in the new revealed. And most of that revelation, most of that's in Paul's epistles, but he's revealing the truths of the prophets. That the prophets, we saw last week, and we saw in our Luke study not too long ago, the prophets didn't understand a lot of what they prophesied. But Paul, he comes along and he makes manifest by the scriptures of the prophets according to the commandment of the everlasting God made known to all nations for the obedience of faith to God only wise be glory through Jesus Christ forever. Amen. That's Paul talking about this very revelation of the mystery. The earliest reference to the revelation of Gentiles saved apart from being circumcised under law was in 46 A.D., which is about 4 years after James is murdered. The author of our epistle was murdered, and it's 4 years after that before the first mention of this revelation. Look over in Acts 14, 27. Acts 14, 27, if you're there, read it with me. And when they were come and had gathered the church together, they rehearsed all that God had done with them and how He had opened the door of faith unto the Gentiles. You see, before this time, if a Gentile wanted to be saved, then he was supposed to, no matter what his age, be what?
Circumcised.
See, that's why a lot of these non-dispensational groups turn baptism into the equivalent of circumcision for the New Testament. The Bible never does that, but they do that. Why? Because in order to be a Christian, you're supposed to make a profession of faith and be baptized as your public profession to the world. And so they said, well, to be a Gentile believer, you were to be circumcised. And so now baptism is what circumcision, what's it's not. But that's how you didn't just make a profession and dip in water. You had to be circumcised. You had to go through rituals. You weren't even allowed to go into certain parts of the temple. You had to stay in the outer court for a certain number of generations. And all these rules. But now we're the Church of Christ. If you're saved, you're saved. There's neither Jew nor Gentile. All those differences. You did not listen to that. Sitting there. Okay. So the next two points of context go hand in hand. Now we established that. We have the fact that James was written 4 years later as the first mention of that revelation of the mystery of the body. Then we also see in James that it is primarily practical theology. Do you know what those words mean? Practical, meaning practice, meaning how you live. It's not about being saved in the eternal sense. And it's not primarily soteriology, which is the doctrine of salvation. So keep those things in mind. James is dealing with how you live, not about salvation, which Romans, for example, Paul goes into great detail. James uses the word saved five times, but only once is it regarding eternal salvation. You remember the passages we've talked about before where a woman can be saved through childbirth. Now, if you try to get to heaven by having babies, you're not going to get there. Because that's not talking about eternal salvation. Amen?
Amen?
There's another place where a preacher's told you by your doctrine you can save thyself and your hearers. But he's talking to Christians. He's talking about saving in the sense, well, let's look at a couple of scripture with scripture here. James 1:21, go back to the book of James. Hebrews, James. James 1:21. Now this is about your soul. How do I know that? Let's read it. Wherefore, lay apart all filthiness and superfluity of naughtiness, and receive with meekness the engrafted word, which is able to save your souls. So there, it's kind of obvious, isn't it? Faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the what? We're saved by grace through what? See how that works? You gotta receive the Word of God in order to be saved. But look at James 5, just a couple of pages over most of your Bibles. James 5:15. James 5:15. And here's that word again. Save, but is it about eternal salvation? Read it with me. And the prayer of faith shall save the sick, and the Lord shall raise him up. And if he have committed sins, they shall be forgiven him. That's not talking about his eternal salvation. That's talking about saving him in the sense of from whatever's killing him. Amen?
Amen.
Yeah, it would be heresy. We'd have to... That's why... Because people read it wrong, that's why people like Martin Luther, for example, they thought the book should be taken out of the Bible. They did. And there's a bunch of people through the years who said such things. But the reason is, well, we're seeing why. They're just not rightly dividing, not rightly handling. So James is primarily concerned with practical Christian living. We're going to see that more as we go through. But the final point of context is an amazing Bible phenomena. This is what we're going to close on here. And that is the fact that James has a special tribulation saint application. This book has an application to the tribulation Jews. You know, these Jews are still scattered. But God's bringing them home. And He's going to bring them all home. So we'll discuss this more in depth in future studies, but here's one example. We're in James 5, beginning of verse 1. We've read this before. Go to now, ye rich men, weep and howl for your miseries that shall come upon you. Your riches are corrupted and your garments are moth-eaten. Now, we could name some names. George Soros, Bill Gates, Warren Buffett, you know, all these godless people who are using their billions to corrupt this world and to gain political power and to turn human beings into slaves. That's what they're all about. Your gold and silver is cankered, and the rest of them shall be a witness against you and shall eat your flesh as it were fire. That's interesting. That's going to be something to see. You have heaped treasure together for when?
The last days.
The last days. And he goes on, and you can read that on your own, but look what he says there in verse 7. Be patient, therefore, brethren, unto the coming of the Lord. Now, obviously, he's talking to Christians, Christian Jews, scattered tribes. Behold, the husbandman waiteth for the precious fruit of the earth. See, James is all about practical, and he's also about this earth. He's also about this, because why? Because the Jews are looking for a king on this earth. See, their promised land is land. And their Messiah is going to reign, and he's going to rule from a throne in Jerusalem over Israel and the nations. That's the mind of the Jew, the believing Jew. And it says, and hath long patience for it until he received the early and latter rain. Read verse 8 with me. But ye also, patient, establish your hearts, for the coming of the Lord draweth nigh. So James sees the second coming of Jesus to the earth, not the heavenly rapture revealed fully in Paul's epistles. Now, Jesus gave information. The prophets spoke of these things, and with Paul's help, we can identify when the prophets and Jesus himself is talking about the rapture. John 14. You remember what John 14 says? He says, I have gone to prepare a place for you. He says, in my house are many mansions. And he says, I will come again to receive you unto myself. That's you going up. But when he comes down and establishes his kingdom, he's coming down. He's not receiving you. He's coming down with us to establish his kingdom. See the difference? We've got messages on that. I was just looking at it. It's amazing that it's almost 4 years ago. We taught a message called Rapture and Return, Seven Distinctions. And you can get that online. It's on Sermon Audio on our channel, March 5th, 2017. And we make those distinctions. We show how the rapture is all about going up. The return is all about Jesus coming down. Rapture is a rescue. The return is wrath. All these different distinctions that are made between the rapture and the return. So those are your 7 points that you should familiarize yourself with in when it comes to the context of the book of James. And that's where we'll pick up next time. So we're going to have you all sing with us one more time. In your praise book, page 4. This is one, Jenny wrote this one. But as you turn there, our closing comment is, know your Bible. And you know your Bible by respecting the context. If you respect the context, note the context, keep the context, 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 and it'll save you from a whole lot of error, a whole lot of difficulties people run into.